Hey family,
welcome to the Janae That's Good podcast.
It's Janae
and Janae,
and today
we're talking saved now what.
But first, let's pray.
Father, we invite you in, Father God, for this is your podcast. We are your vessels, Father. Touch our mouths like you did Jeremiah, Lord, and touch our listeners' ears, Father God. And we pray, Lord God, that you remove anything that is hindering them or will be trying to hinder them from receiving your word, Lord God. We pray that you go forth, Father. Send your Holy Spirit that you promised us, Father, to guide us into all truth and understanding. Now we give it all to you, Lord, and we just say, take over. Have your way, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So this is our first episode. I am saved. Now what?
Right.
The definition has power. Like you, when you right. see the definition, it's like,
right.
whoa, it adds more meaning to a word.
Right. And what I've realized is that a lot of things that we think is a certain way, you end up looking it up and doing your research as you get, you know, closer to Christ and do your studies, your private studies and things like that, you realize that a lot of things you were only touching, or I can speak for myself, I was only touching the surface, mm-hmm. right, with certain things. So to be saved is, if you look up, and I would recommend this, we talk about this all the time when we do it in our personal studies, the Blue Letter Bible.
Yes.
The Interlinear Concordance is off the chain.
Uh-huh.
So when you look at the word saved, some of the definitions, because here's the thing, when you look up words, it has different definitions. And depending on the context of how the word is used, the meaning changes, right? The definition mm-hmm. changes.
Yeah.
So the word saved, when I looked it up, it says to live, have life, remain alive, sustain life, live prosperously, live forever, be quickened, be alive, be restored to life or health. Deliverance from sin / consequences and entering into reconciled relationship with God. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ's sacrificial death and resurrection. Mm-hmm. That is what being saved is. Mm-hmm. But now we're getting into the now what.
I also Googled the definition of saved, and to be saved means to rescue or to keep safe. And in the Hebrew definition, it means to deliver, to spare, to salvage. And when I heard of salvage or saw salvage, I thought of what was left,
right?
So to save what was left. And then in the Greek definition, it means to come through.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, I be thinking that's interesting because we say words like come through and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Like little sayings.
Yes, like just little sayings or whatever. So I just thought that stuck out to me as well because I'm like, okay, that means to come through. Like Jesus is coming through, right?
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, when people say they're saved, they're talking about, you know, I believe in God, you know, for, you know, the word says all you got to do. A lot of people drag this.
Yeah.
All you got to do is say
that you believe Jesus Christ.
You know,
on the cross.
Exactly. Uh-huh. The whole salvation prayer, right? That's all that you have to do. And then boom, you're saved. And I know, like, I'll give an example or like not a testimony, but just, you know, an example from in my life when I was in a Baptist, you know, I was doing Baptist or whatever, going to Baptist church. Sorry. Why are you laughing at me?
Because you said I was doing Baptist.
I mean, I wasn't doing Baptist, but I was in the Baptist environment, okay? The Baptist
you
denomination.
Went to a Baptist church.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when I was there, I was like, okay, now I grew up thinking, okay, Baptist, right? So I'm like, let me go to a Baptist church. When I first came to God, I was like, okay, let me go to a Baptist church. So when I went there, I was listening to what they were saying or whatever. And they believe, well, I'll speak for the church that I was at, is that, you know, you're saved. It's just like when you come in, when you say God, you know,
the
salvation prayer, you're saved. Right. It's just whatever you do after that, it just depends on the level that you're going to be in heaven. So you could be poor in heaven or you could be like, you
Who
know,
said that?
Exactly. Like it depends on the gifting that you're going to get. Like there is a certain hierarchy in heaven, which, you know, we know, you know, that could be true. Right. But like, just like the hierarchy, because you have certain angels that, you know, you got war angels, you got this, you got that. So, but what I'm saying is, where does it say that, well, you're, if you don't do this, your gift in heaven is going to be different? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Hearing you say that makes me think of this. As humans, right, because we were born into sin, right?
Mm-hmm.
As humans, we always try to find a way to make sin justifiable or to still hold on to the things we want instead of truly, you know, transforming and coming into a new, you know what I mean? Because even just hearing that, it sounds like, okay, so I'm saved. So, and I, so I really could still do me or whatever. It just, and I'm gonna still go to heaven because I'm saved, but like, I don't got to give up my sinful life all the way. Because, and it's like, that is
Because, and so like when I was in the, you know, they didn't say probably those words verbatim, but it was just like alluding to like, oh, you know, you don't have to completely give your life over to God. Like, you don't have to stop doing what you're doing or whatever, because it just means that the reward in heaven won't be as great. So
I don't mean no harm, but that church set you up. If you had followed, I'm not gonna lie.
But I felt in my spirit like something's not right. Like I just couldn't believe that for some reason, I know it's the Holy Spirit that was tugging on me, because it's like,
it's gotta be more than that.
Like I can't, how can you even really feel right doing what you're doing and claiming Jesus?
Because
you know?
Here's the thing. If that's the case, if let's just say, okay, say that was the case. Okay. I'm saved. And, you know, I don't really have to change anything because no matter what I do, I'm still going to heaven because I'm saved, right? That goal, we have so much biblical text to disprove that.
Yeah.
That is more than just saying that. That's what, like you said, saves you.
Yeah.
But we, I mean, we're going to get into all that. We're going to get into all that.
So, yeah, so that was just my personal experience. And I just felt like, you know, no, like, that's not enough. That's not enough. Right? So, or you have some people who literally just jump into religion, right? And it's like, they're like, I have to do this, I have to do that. But it's like, their heart is kind of far from God. They're just doing these actions because they believe that it's the right thing to do. And it's like, you then become a living example of that scripture that says, you have a form of godliness, but you deny its power.
Absolutely.
You're not allowing it to work in you, right? Because, and then I hear different people's stories about, you know, the sanctification process, right? How religious people, they want to see it. Like the moment you claim, you say that Jesus, you know, I believe in God, they want to see a physical change right then and there. But a lot of the time that's not, realistic, right? Like God has to take you through a washing or whatever, which is why when he delivered the Israelites from Egypt, they had to go into the wilderness. Because there was a cleansing process that had to happen before they could go into the promised land. So it's like God changes you. He wants to change you from the inside out. The church wants to see you, or religious people, they want you to see, I mean, they want to see the physical appearance. They don't even really care about your inner.
Your heart.
Want you to be, they want you to basically look the part. And it's like, that's not really.
I mean, here's the thing. Let's be real. We'll look at it like this. If the disciples were alive today, right? People would think that they're bums.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
this all the time because of the way they dress or the way their hair, their clothes, all they would literally look at them and think that they were bums.
They would think Jesus was a bum.
Right.
He literally had no place to call home. You know?
But the thing about it is, it's because we have been conditioned to think that, oh, holy or prosperous or righteous means I'm dripped in diamonds
I look clean. You know what I'm saying? When really, like, the homeless person could be more saved,
their heart and their soul
God
could
absolutely
than the person that goes to church every day.
Yeah,
we might as well just tell the listeners now, right? We read our Bibles.
Don't try to
judge me unrighteously if I say Luke when Matthew said it. I guarantee you, you can go back in there and see who said it, and it's exactly what I said. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of people get caught up in that, or like, oh, because you don't know, what was I getting ready to say? You don't, you got to look it up or whatever the case. That's what it's in there for me to look it up. You know what I mean? Like, some people, here's the thing. A person can recite scriptures all day and quote verses out the Bible and speak in tongues and still not have any, no type of godliness in them. You get what I'm saying? So I think a lot of times too, I just wanted to preface it with that, because you know, a lot of times on this podcast, we're gonna be like, oh, what was it, when was it John or Matthew that said it? Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that a person is less of a follower of Christ because they don't know right off the back, oh yeah, it was John 17 such and such. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
Mark 16:16. Yeah, please.
He might as well just get off right now.
So it says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, right, but he who does not believe will be condemned.
Right.
Right? Okay. So we know that, okay, the word says that if I believe, right, if I believe that Jesus died on the cross and he rose again on the third day, right, if I believe that, then I'm saved.
Right.
If I get baptized, then I'm saved.
Right.
But I think that we need to dive deeper into what belief is. Like, what is, absolutely, what is to believe?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So what would you say, like, as far as believing? Because I feel like people think that, all right, now, yes, and confession is another part of it as well, because you must confess out of your mouth that, you know, Jesus is the Lord.
Right.
Jesus is the King of all kings, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus is Jesus,
right?
Okay, God the Son,
right?
And we have to believe that the Father sent him and things like that, right? But, and even when we read scripture, we could see that belief was a problem. Belief was a problem.
Yeah.
Even with the disciples.
Absolutely.
And even with them witnessing the miracles of Jesus and, you know, seeing him in action, right?
Right.
There was still a struggle of belief. And there was some faith there, but there was still a lack somewhere, right?
Right.
So when people, I don't want it to, like, when you see or hear somebody say, oh, you just got to believe. Okay, well, I believe. Understand also that there's a part in scripture that says even the demons believe, but are they right, able to go to heaven?
Right.
So somewhere, somehow, yeah, there is a another part that connects you with the Father and connects you into heaven. You right, know what I'm saying? So there has to be more to just believing.
Right.
Right. Or what comes with believing? How do I know that my belief is going to get me, you know, to where I need to be?
Right.
If that makes sense.
Right.
So let's break down belief.
Okay.
Believing. Now, I don't even have any notes about believing.
All right. So neither do I. But listen to this. So here's the thing, right? If you want to know what a person, these are conversations that we have,
yes,
all the time,
yeah,
you know, mm-hmm, but I'm saying, if you want to know what a person believes, right, the first step, listen to what they say, right?
Mm-hmm.
The second step is watch what they do.
Yes.
Because
yeah,
the actions is actually what tells you what the belief is, right? Because they, you know, the word of God says you will know them by their fruits, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. If a person says out their mouth, I believe, help me, Holy Ghost,
mm-hmm,
that I should eat healthy and that I, and that these foods are bad. I'm not going to eat this stuff because it's bad. I believe that they, this food, they're putting things in it that has cancer. I mean, that causes cancer and all this. I believe this, right?
Yeah.
Now, Janae, if you see me get in that line, hi, welcome to McDonald's today. How can I help you? Yeah, let me get a.
Yeah, like, and you will be looking crazy because I'm like, oh, snap. I thought you just said, you was just speaking on.
Right.
You.
So here's the thing. My mouth says one thing, but my actions say another. So when it pertains to belief, how do you know? And I'm going to tell you something. The best thing you can do is be honest with God and be honest with yourself.
Yes.
And the reason why I say that, because God, you know, I say this all the time. God can do wonders with your honesty.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we want to lie to ourselves and think we can lie to God too, right?
Right.
So here's the thing. I'd rather you say, you know what? I have aspirations and I have a desire to eat healthier. But right now, I ain't ready. Like,
right,
just be honest.
Yes.
Because here's the thing. If I say I believe that Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm,
died on the cross, right?
Mm-hmm.
He arose on the third day, is born from a virgin, right? Suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified. All, if I say all these things, right? And if I say I love Jesus, I love God, right? My actions should coincide with that.
My lifestyle should coincide with that. Yes. My every being should exude what yes. it means to love God.
And that is belief, because then it makes me think of the scripture, and people love to use this one out of context. Mm-hmm. Faith without works is right. dead. Your faith, if you say you believe in something, your works makes it complete.
Right.
So that's why I said it's dead. Your faith is dead if you don't have any works to support it. Right.
Yeah.
And gosh, I don't know. I want to say it's Paul, but I don't know who wrote that. But he basically was saying that, comparing it to a body without life in it.
Yeah.
You know, your body, the body being faith and yeah. the life being the works.
Yeah.
It is dead if it does not have the ruach of God. Right. Right. The breath of God.
Absolutely.
So it's like you can't say, oh, I believe this. Let's go back to your explanation with food, right? Let's stick on that for a minute, right? Let's just put it there. I say I believe in all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I believe in all that. But yet, I'm going into the line and I'm eating the junk.
Absolutely.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
I am probably... It's dead right now. It's dead. I'm unhealthy. It's, you know, I ain't trying to speak this stuff over me, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, say,
the person's unhealthy.
Yeah, the person.
The person's unhealthy. Mm-hmm. The food is killing them because they know... The very thing that you're saying that you believe in, you're going against.
Right. So
Lilla, it's literally killing you.
So because you just said that, you said the very thing you believe you're going against, that is showing you that you don't believe.
Exactly. Exactly.
That literally is what it is.
Exactly.
So what you're...
Or if we say, where you said, I believe it, I'm just not ready yet.
Yeah.
Guess what? Your faith, you have the knowledge, but you're not using it.
Right.
So it's not benefiting you.
Right.
It's not helping you in any way.
Right.
So your faith is dead because you're not using it.
Absolutely. But the reason why I use that as an example is because the thing about it is that, you know, you know my story. I grew up in church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense because I saw the people who believed, oh, all you have to do is say this out of your mouth and you are saved. Because how do I know that that's what they believe? Because I watched and look at their life.
Mm-hmm.
And,
exactly.
And that, and I saw that and I was like, oh, that's it. That's all there is.
Right.
But then as you get older, like I said, for me, I grew up in church, right? But when I started getting older, and even now when I look back, there were certain things as I was growing up as a child, there were certain things that I'm like, this can't be it. Like this,
right.
It has to be more to this, because if that's the case, then there would, then the scripture would not say that, you know, they, Lord, Lord, they said, Lord, mm-hmm. Lord, Lord, you know, we've casted out demons in your name. We've done this.
Right.
And he said, get what? Depart from me. I never knew
you.
Right. So here's the thing.
Me saying that I believe ain't enough.
Right.
Either.
If all it took was for a person to say I'm saved and mm-hmm. that was it, or whatever the case, like that's literally it. Then anybody could say that. Like you said,
right.
the demons know that Jesus is
yes.
the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords.
Right.
But at the end of the day, they are still where?
On their way to hell.
When you said the whole thing about faith without works is dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was Abraham that said it, right? And no, they compared it to Abraham, saying like faith without works is dead, right? And they used it with him demonstrating his faith in God by getting ready to sacrifice his son Isaac, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, a lot of people misuse this this verse or whatever,
mm-hmm.
right? And they take it out of context. His faith, how Abraham showed his faith, was by being obedient to God. That
yes.
was the work. His
yes.
obedience
yes.
was the work.
His obedience
so he had
was
the faith
works.
In God, right? Which
yes.
is, I'm acknowledging, I believe that you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords.
Yes.
Now, how to show that belief is what I'm about to do, the works,
exactly.
which is my obedience, the
exactly.
direction that you give me.
Yes.
So if God gave you the direction, mm-hmm. or whatever the case may be, and you don't follow the directions, that is showing you what you believe.
Exactly.
So had
yes.
Abraham not
mm-hmm.
done the direction, it would have showed God
that he doesn't
believe, which means And to be honest with you, he would have failed the test. Because
his faith would have been dead.
Yeah, his faith would have been dead. But also, to be honest with you, and the Holy Spirit showed me this when a while ago, like literally a couple months ago. That whole test was also, it was about obedience and things like that. But it was also about idolatry. Because you know, Abraham's father mm-hmm. was an idol worshiper. And he yeah. came from that, right? Generationally. So the fact that I'm asking you to kill the very thing that you prayed for, it really was a test of obedience and to kill idolatry. Right. Yeah. But anyway, I say all that to say that was a prime example of showing that he had the faith, and what showed that he had the faith and that he had the belief was his works, right, which exactly. was the obedience and the action.
Yeah. So I guess you could say, you know, it's possible to have faith, but if you don't have the works to support your yeah. faith, your faith is dead.
It's like inactive.
Yes.
You know what it is? It's like having, I'll give you an example. Say your phone is dead, right?
Right.
And the charge is beside you. The charge is beside you. You have to plug it up.
Exactly.
If you don't, you have the charger, you have the phone. Yes. But if you don't plug up the charger to the phone and in the wall, it won't charge
exactly.
the phone.
Exactly. It's like saying, I have a phone.
Right.
I have a phone.
Right.
It's dead, though. I can't call nobody on it.
Right.
I can't text nobody. Right. But I got one, though.
I got one, though.
But you can't use it. Right. So that's how good. Does it benefit you?
Yeah, that's good.
Janae, that's good.
I agree, but if you think that was good, wait until episode 2.
Yes, I'm excited. So make sure y'all tune in.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.